I've got it. Don't worry about my back, Luke. It'll be right. Well, Svetlana and I, we've been coming to BBC, Beckenham Baptist, for over a year now. And just want to thank everyone who's been there longer than that for your welcome. And then also the privilege of those who came around the same time and since. It's been wonderful getting to know you all as well. Luke's prayed for us, so I'll ask Jesse to bring up the Bible passages, please. So we're going to start, and if we could all read together, we'll start at Genesis, just four verses, and then we'll look at Galatians. So shall we read together? Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Cool. And then we'll look at Galatians chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 1 to 11. So shall we read that together as well? O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it because of the law, by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. For as many as of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue all things is written in the book of the law to do them, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Cool. Thank you, everyone. Yeah, so a few weeks ago, Cam, who just spoke, talked about a challenging time in his life with faith and living for the Lord. He was obviously someone who loved the Lord Jesus and still shared about the Lord Jesus, but life and other things got so busy. And he was doing, like we've all been in that situation, living the Christian life merely on the outward without a connection with the Lord Jesus. And for me, last year, I was in that situation. From all intent and purposes, I was going to church, going to Bible studies, being involved. but my heart, my belief, my faith wasn't connected. I was brought up a Roman Catholic, and that's the challenge for me, is that it is easy to follow systems. It is easy to go to church. It is easy in some ways to follow a religious system and to think you're right with God. On Friday afternoon, I met a young man and I asked him, if you were to die today, why would God let you into heaven? And he said to me, I go to church, I've been baptized. But he hadn't realized that the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus was for him. And wasn't it so encouraging to hear Brent say how he needed to hear that he was a forgiven sinner? And I caught up with a couple of men yesterday, and one thing is, I've been looking through the book of Galatians, gospel comes out many times, the good news. But the point one commentator made was the fact that it wasn't good news just for the non-Christian who had never heard it, but for those who each week need to hear the gospel that Jesus has died for them. There was a lady who just went to be with the Lord. She was 38. She was a deacon's wife. She played the music. So she was involved actively in the church. But then one day she was challenged as someone was sharing God's word and said, do you know about Jesus or do you know Jesus? And suddenly she became aware she had never seen a need for the Lord Jesus for herself. And so as we look through these verses now, the gospel is clear. And it's not about what we can do to earn forgiveness, earn a relationship with God. But it's about what Jesus has done. So in verse 1, we'll just work through the passage together. So if you've got your Bible, open it to Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. And this is one of Paul's first books that he wrote to churches. And we can see in it, he's holding back no punches. He's calling them foolish. You foolish Galatians. I've told you how to believe in Jesus and how to live for Jesus. But you've been bewitched. And Paul says to them, wake up. He says, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. And the word therefore portrayed was someone putting up a clear notice of what needs to be done. In chapter 1, verse 4, he starts, Jesus was delivered up for your sins. Wake up. But these people were being bewitched. They were being told there was a, it was like a spell was being cast upon them. Other religious leaders had come in to charm them. They were offering flattery. Hey, if you go back to Judaism, if you go back to following laws, you're going to have favor with God. If you follow this religious system, you will be right with God. And Paul said to them, this is ridiculous. Who's bewitched you? It's clearly portrayed, and I've told you before when I came to you, that Jesus Christ was crucified for your sins. Don't be bewitched by false promises. As Greg shared with us, things are happening in this world, and so this world's not neutral. When we leave this place, we're going into a world that does not see a need for the Lord Jesus or love him. So don't be bewitched. Then in verse 2, he asks them, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? In Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In the amazing grace of God, as we hear, as we read, as we listen to, as we study, God's word can change us by the power of his Spirit. Jesus said in John 3:8, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it. And we do at times, don't we? We hear the sound of the wind when it's blowing, but we can't see it. We see the effect of the wind. We see leaves moving around. We see branches moving around. So we hear and we can see the effect of it. But Jesus says in John 3, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes to. So is everyone born of the Spirit. So these Galatians had been born of the Spirit as they listened to the word of God and acted in faith. So Paul is asking, come on guys, how did you start the Christian life? Was it in your own strength or was it something God had done? In verse 3, we see again Paul rebuking them. Are you so foolish? So if they haven't been challenged enough, he wants to nail them. Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by faith? A foolish person is someone without knowledge. They're ignorant, they're lacking in perception, they don't have common sense or competence of intellect, and they're mindless, they're not using their brains. Basically, you're not thinking. I've told you what the gospel is. Wake up. And then he goes on in verse 4, did you suffer or experience so many things in vain if it was indeed in vain? You turned from what you knew all your life, you saw your need of the Lord Jesus, and you went after him. So why to Dickens are you going back to wanting to follow a religious system, rules, and do it in your own strength? And I don't know about you, some of you who have been Christians for a long time. Is that possibly where you're at? You've gone a bit cold, a bit soft, a bit lukewarm, because life's tough. You might be tired, sick, whatever. But Paul's saying, when you put your trust in Jesus, and some of you have suffered. I think of one friend in the UK, when he became a Christian, his father never saw him again when he said, I'm following Jesus. He doesn't think it's in vain. And so I'm wondering this morning, do you have that heartfelt passion for Jesus? I know for a period I didn't, And we know at times we're cold to the things of God. But Paul says and reminds us in verse 5, you do not have to do it in your own strength. It's not about you. And sometimes, Andre's my son, sometimes I know as a dad, and it's good having a challenging wife sometimes, she reminds me of my Roman Catholic background, and you must go to church, you must go to youth group, you must do all these things. And so it's easier to default to works. But Paul, he doubles down, he says it again, does he who supplied the Spirit to you and work miracles among you do so by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? So it's clear, when we leave this place today, our faith in the Lord Jesus is by his grace. The Phillips translation of the Bible puts it like this: oh, you dear idiots, how can you be so foolish? So that might be a helpful reminder. Oh, you dear idiots, how can you be so foolish? So the Spirit came with hearing of faith and miracles, and some of those, they talked in different languages, supernatural healings. They turned to Jesus. Now, in verse 6, if you do not know how to live a life of faith, Paul shows us we've got a pattern. Someone who's done it. In verse 6, we see Abraham. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. He uses Abraham as proof that there has never been any other way of salvation than by grace through faith. And we hear, don't we, that, and we know that Jesus died for our sins. But if we were to stand before God with our sins dealt with, we would be neutral. We also need a righteousness. And when Jesus died on the cross, he took away our sins, but he also gave us his righteous life. And so quite often we hear from Bill on a Tuesday night that his wife's perfect. And I guess I can say the same, my wife's perfect. But it's only in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ today, you're perfect. Jesus lived every second, every minute of every hour of every day perfectly before God. He loved God with all his heart, soul, mind, and his neighbour as himself. And because he done that, we get that. So not only is our sin taken away, but we get Jesus' righteousness, perfect life. So you might be here this morning, you're thinking, poor me, I'm going through this and that. Does God really care? Well, what did Abraham do? He listened to God and he did what he said. And it was accounted to him as righteousness. By the grace of God, no longer am I Jason Tomkinson, the young man who loved drink, alcohol, girls, not weed, interestingly, but maybe so much more, and for much longer, no longer am I that Roman Catholic man who still falls into that, but I'm in the Lord Jesus Christ, clothed in his righteousness. And then in verse 7, know then that those of faith are sons of Abraham. And if you're a lady here, or a slave, or someone, in chapter 3, verse 28, it clarifies that. There's neither Jew or Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male or female. You're all sons of God and of Abraham. God is your father because of Jesus. So Abraham, we have clearly as an example of someone who, by faith, through grace, is a child of God. Verse 8, we see Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So this gospel promise is for everyone. In Romans 1, the gospel is the power of God to salvation. It's the dynamite of God to salvation. There's no other way. We have friends who, yes, they go to church, but they also believe in reincarnation, and they believe doing good works are all means of salvation. But Paul makes it clear to those believers here in Galatia, to us today, over 2,000 years later, that only God can do it. And it's by faith. And that promise to Abraham, because he listened and did what God said, we now are blessed as well. Abraham hung tough. In Romans 4, there's a situation where he's described as not being weak in faith, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed. So a hopeless situation, he believed in hope. He did not waver in his faith. He wasn't shaken. He was a man, but he hung tough, because he was fully convinced that what God had promised would happen. And so he's our pattern. He said in verse 9, and this is you this morning, if you've got the faith of Abraham, who trusts God, who believes God, who's surprised by grace, God's undeserving kindness to the unkind, then you're also blessed. You're blessed by God. However, there's a sad challenge too. In verse 10 we read, for all who rely on works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them.
Paul started the letter, "Let those who don't preach the gospel twice in chapter 1, let them be accursed." Anathema. Experience hell. If you are going to earn your way to heaven and think that there's anything in yourself that can get you to heaven, you are accursed. Yesterday, I went and watched a bit of football and Nick was playing. He was towards striker. And sadly, in the first half at least, he hit the post and the goalie had two good saves. Now, what he was required to do was get that ball in the rest of the goal box. But he failed. He was not cursed, but he was a loser. Because if we follow this, God requires Nick and me and everyone else, if we were playing a game of football, to get that ball in the net every time. And we can't do it. If there was a bullseye placed at the back, God requires us. We saw Jesus every second of every hour of every day. He lived a righteous life. And that's what God requires of us. And if we don't, if young Henry, who I spoke to on Friday, doesn't see his need for the Lord Jesus, and he relies on going to church, on his baptism, when he stands before God, he will be cursed. And I've titled this message, "Surprised by Grace." That seems a bit strange, Jason. Why have you done that? Because 30 years ago, when I was going to church, Roman Catholic Church, before I was going out to drink at the cricket club, and the priest was saying, "Oh, good on you, Jason, for coming, because none of the other young guys are. Well done." So that was my penitence as I was living without God and without Christ. And so, these are weighty words. We were looking at it with a couple of friends the other Saturday at Revelation chapter 9, and verse 6 says this: "People will seek death and not find it. They'll desire to die, but they won't. Death will flee from them." How awful of a situation is that? And that's the destiny. If we do not follow Abraham, if we do not listen to Paul. And that's why, isn't it so encouraging? We've got so many here who have heard this and are out telling people, you need Jesus. One writer describes with good deeds trying to get to heaven or anything in yourself, it's a bit like a rock, a heavy rock, falling, and a spider web catching it. It's not possible. You cannot be justified by the law. However, there is another way, isn't there? And Paul said in Galatians 2:20, remember, he was the one who, about the law, I'm blameless. And it wasn't just the Ten Commandments, it was the 600 or so laws he followed meticulously. But what did he say in Galatians 2:20? I have been crucified with Christ. So the most important day of my life was when Jesus died on the cross. I was there in Christ. And it's no longer I who live. And I'm sure there are many days he would want to default back to what he knew in that religious system. But he was telling these Galatians, don't do it. Because, why? Christ lives in me. And so, for my friends, it breaks my heart because they're the nicest people. They think they can't see this reality. And I know for most of you here, and hopefully everyone, Christ is in you. And you've experienced the Spirit of God, and that dynamite has shaped you and made you the man or woman you are today. And Paul goes on to say, the life I now live is by faith in the Son of God. Why? How's it possible? Because he loved me and he gave himself for me. My dad's been up this weekend and it was sad he couldn't stay for this message, but I'm seeing, and Russell touched on it, he's around 75. Remember, Abraham was called out when he was 75. We've heard Leanne's got a, God's got a work for her and many others of you. It's so encouraging. And one of the draw cards of Beckenham, that you are hanging tough and there's a passion. And it's not just merely knowledge. But how do we carry on? One person put it like this. We're imprisoned in the love of God. He who has begun the good work will complete it. The other interesting thing I learned this week, and this is our opportunity as a church, and we can dream big about this. The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and verse 23. And I know some of you would be able to reel it off by heart. But that's what we see in those who live a life of faith. They've got love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, self-control, patience. See, I don't have patience. But the interesting thing was that in each of those fruits, they're all together in a believer. So my friends, and to different extents, but it's because they have the life of God. And God's working through circumstances, through challenges, through the ups and downs of life, the knocks of life. And so, as we leave today, be encouraged to trust in the Lord Jesus, to be surprised by grace, to preach the gospel to yourself and not rely on works. Do you know what it said of Abraham? In James chapter 2, verse 23, because he listened to God. And we know he listened because he did depart. But in James 2:23, it said, he's God's friend. Are you God's friend? Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we want to thank you that you've given us a living word. That same word that spoke to the Galatians speaks to us this day. You know where everyone is this morning in their relationship with you. Lord God, help us all to be amazed and surprised by grace. to experience the power of your Spirit and to know Jesus. For your glory, Father in heaven. Amen.